course, is The Cure of Souls and Vaishnava Communities, and I think it has a subtitle, something about a look at ISKCON pathologies. Can you hear me? Okay, look at ISKCON pathologies. Now, the phrase cure of souls is a very old English expression. When a priest would take a parish, it was said that he was given the cure of souls in that particular area. So in English, the word curate refers to this old use of the word cure, and also French curé or priest. The word means care. Actually, the care of souls, taking care of souls. But also I like the modern sense of cure, making well. So in one sense, this course is about what ISKCON is supposed to be about. Curing souls of contamination of material existence and returning the souls to the association of Krishna. But this is, I'm going to be a little peculiar because I'm going to be using the work of a Christian thinker named Anton T. Boisen, B-O-I-S-E-N. Boisen is an American who was born in 1876 and died in 1965. He lived a very long time. That's because, actually, he was a strict brahmachari all his life. Why I'm going to use Boisen will explain in the course of discussion. But I happened to discover Boisen. This is his first book, The Exploration of the Inner World, subtitled A Study of Mental Disorder and Religious Experience, which published first in 1936. It's been reprinted a couple of times. This is actually the second edition, the 52 edition. There's a 36 edition, 52. Then the Harper Torch book sometime in the 60s. Then the University Press printed it. But now, unfortunately, it's out of print. It's not available. It'll probably come back in print sometime. Because this is often regarded as a classic in the psychology of religion. I have a second book of Boisen called Religion in Crisis and Custom. I managed to photocopy. I picked these up. I searched secondhand bookstores all over for copies. This is his autobiography, Out of the Depths, his autobiographical study of mental disorder and religious experience. And then I found this Problems in Religion and Life, a Manual for Pastors. And then what is in print is a collection of his articles called Vision from a Little Known Country, a Boisen Reader. Boisen is regarded as the founder of what's called clinical pastoral training. Or education, rather, clinical pastoral education. That is to deal with the pastoral care of mentally ill people. And there's an association that carries on this work, and so on. However, this course is not about the pastoral care of mentally ill people, unless we consider all of us, of course, fundamentally crazy. What happened to Boisen is in 1920, he had a schizophrenic episode, put him in a mental hospital. He came out of the episode, couldn't convince anybody he was okay, had to stay in the hospital for another almost a year, looked at his fellow patients to see what some of them were going through. And he came to the conclusion that what he was undergoing, which was diagnosed as schizophrenia, in those days the term was dementia praecox, was actually a spiritual crisis, and that other people had gone through similar spiritual crises, such as St. Paul, maybe even Jesus, George Fox, and in this book he deals with some of them. Breaking up of the inner world and putting it back together on a new foundation, that's what was happening to him. It was a spiritual crisis, and that when these crises are resolved successfully, you have a saint or a religious leader or so on. And when they're unsuccessful, you have somebody who's maybe crazy and spends the rest of his life in the back wards of a mental hospital. He's failed. Or else he can be stabilized in an unsatisfactory sort of a way. When Boysen got out of the mental hospital, he was already an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church, a very strict Presbyterian upbringing. He went back and he studied psychology of religion and was able to become a chaplain in a mental hospital to verify what he had thought he had discovered. Certain insights into what he calls the laws of spiritual life. He thought he had discovered general laws of spiritual life. Then he then went and tried to apply the same ideas to a normal parish. He had some students who had the cure of souls and went with them and started to look at what was going on with all the different people in their congregation to apply it to normal life, and discovered that the same sorts of things applied to there. That takes place in this book, Exploration of the Inner World, to which you'll have a couple of chapters to look at. Then in the second book, Religion in Crisis and Custom, he tried to apply the same ideas to religious groups as wholes. So that's basically what Boysen had done. What you have here, the exploration of the inner world, the guidance of the reader, and his introduction. Now, Boysen uses a lot of insights from a field of study called social psychology. And so you've got an appendix to this book, technical terms and concepts, to let you understand what this means. Social psychology is the notion that the internal structure of the individual mirrors his social structure, that we are fundamentally social beings. And what we are doing, we have internalized things that are happening in the society at large. So different things are actually... for example, basically for Boysen, salvation means to be accepted into the association of those people whom you esteem most highly. That fits us pretty good, right? Pure devotees. And for Boysen, sin, from a social psychological point of view, is isolation. Isolation from those very people and to whose association you would like to be accepted. So, As it turns out, the social psychology is very pertinent for ISKCON because ultimately of a personalistic philosophy. As far as I'm concerned, the idea that God is a person it ties in very closely with the idea that God is social. It's to say the same thing. Prabhupada pointed out that you'll never see Krishna by himself. He's always in the company of his devotees. To be personal is to have personal relations, and that is to be social. So definitely, ISKCON is a process of socialization, of becoming part of a group. And the process of becoming a devotee in ISKCON is a process of becoming socialized to a certain standards and values. And to become socialized in ISKCON, further progress, you become socialized in a transcendental group which resides in Goloka Vrindavan. The ultimate final goal of socialization is to be a member of Krishna's society. Now, the reason why Boysen is especially of interest to ISKCON is that he's a different kind of a Christian from what you may have ever met. I think he's able to speak to us because, first of all, in one aspect, he's very, very old-fashioned in that he completely accepts a very, very strict code of behavior and especially sexual morality. Which in the liberal churches and in normal ecclesiastical bodies are all out of fashion. But in other respects, Boysen is quite liberal. He's a very strange mixture of conservative and liberal. Because he's conservative, he's dealing with a psychological dynamic that you find in a group like ISKCON. Because he's a liberal, he wants to look beyond the teachings of his own particular group and find the general laws of spiritual life. And I think he's been, in some respects, amazingly successful. And so, at the back of your paper, you'll see this chart, and a lot of our course will be dealing with this chart as a diagnostic tool for what's going on in our own lives as individuals and in ISKCON as a society. We want to discuss this on both levels. Notice this chart is described as personality changes and upheavals arising out of the sense of personal failure. That's the primary difficulty, a sense of personal failure. This comes about in groups where we have a group which has allegiance to very, very high ideals. Some would say impossibly high ideals, coupled with a sense of failing to live up to them. Now everyone has this sense of personal failure. And I believe even great advanced devotees have a sense of personal failure. That's just how they deal with it. That distinguishes them from other people. Because a great devotee thinks, everyone is a devotee but me. Right? But a great deal of the dynamics, the essential component to spiritual advancement, success, and failure, according to Boysen, and as we'll see, according to Prabhupada, is how we deal with the sense of personal failure, the constructive and destructive ways of dealing with it. And he talks about the various sorts of malformations or pathologies that come about when the one is dealt with this in an unproductive way. And many of these things will be very familiar to us from our lives in the Hare Krishna movement. And I suspect they're endemic to any, common to any group, religious group that has very high standards. I think you'll find, I found this very interesting. I found out about Boysen. It took me a while to track down his books. I was interested in him, and I find it very, very useful and helpful. Now, another aspect of this, as Boysen deals with what's called pastoral counseling, the cure of souls, ministering to people. ISKCON is now moving into a phase where that is something that many devotees have to become involved in. It is an unfortunate aspect of our movement that it really didn't happen very much when we needed it. But it's coming into play more and more and more. When we're dealing with a sense of personal failure and difficulties come out, and also we're dealing with people now with various degrees of involvement or commitment to the principles of Krishna consciousness. It is a fact that many, many more people are attracted to the principles of Krishna consciousness than are actually able to follow them. What do we do with those people? Well, for my first 15 years I was in ISKCON, we ignored them. But I think we've come to the realization that these are our people. That's called a congregation. There's more to a congregation than that, but a large part of the congregation are people who are on various levels of advancement, but still have some allegiance to ISKCON. How do we keep people advancing in Krishna consciousness? How do we maintain our own very high standard of purity and commitment that Srila Prabhupada set for us, and at the same time have a movement that can somehow or other embrace a great deal of people? It seems like these are contradictory things. When we maintain a very high standard, we have a very small group of people. But we tried to do that, and we found we had this whole group of people agglutinating around us that really we didn't want. I remember sitting, sometime around 1975 or 76 at a Sunday feast and looking at a hugely crowded room and thinking there's nobody to preach to, because they were all, bloop devotees, Indian congregational members, or permanent, what was the word? Fringes. We used to have this word, fringes, people who would never shave their heads and move into a temple, because that's what the goal of preaching was. We didn't really want a congregation, but we got one in spite of ourselves. And now we have obligations toward them. And I think that at the same time, many, many people in that congregation in and around ISKCON are people who at one time had a very high degree of commitment, but for one reason or another have scaled back. Their initial idea of success in spiritual life hasn't worked out. Many of these people are looking for other things. And we're trying to say, well, ISKCON, it has only one solution to your problem, chant your rounds and follow the regular principles. And if, other than that, they have nothing more to say. So now I'm getting involved in various sorts of self-help philosophies, various kinds of psychological programs, 12-step, codependency, whatever it may be that's floating around all over the place. So, since these things are coming in anyway, it is my contention that Boysen, resurrected from the dusty bookshelves actually is probably the most appropriate thing that I've seen for ISKCON, because he shares many of our values. When you go to other psychological workers, they may be helpful, but ultimately they may not share the same kind of values that devotees share. But the notion of total commitment and self-sacrifice in the service of God is very clearly Boysen's main ideal. And he has a great deal of criticism for Christianity for falling away from this, this ideal. So he suits us in this way. And more and more, as time is going on, we have to learn how to help devotees, help each other in spiritual advancement, and also how to recognize in ourselves and in others the various sorts of impediments to people's spiritual advancement. Boysen has one chapter here, Foundations of Spiritual Healing, things we I think will help us. In the course of this, I don't think it will not. It will be. We cannot accept all of Boysen whole cloth. He has things he doesn't understand. He, as far as I'm concerned, he has discovered laws of spiritual life, but they only go so far because he reached the limits of his capacity. He's like a lost devotee. He never quite found the association he needed. What he does know, he knows very clearly and very thoroughly and very well. And I think we can learn from him. It will not show us something that we don't already know. What we see in Boysen, we should say as devotees, oh yeah, we've heard this from Prabhupada, it's in our tradition. It just hasn't been pointed out to me quite this clearly. So we're not trying to bring in something new from the outside. But sometimes, from the outside, people will just light up or illuminate something in our own philosophy which we perhaps hadn't noticed quite well. Another thing that I'm personally interested in doing is if I get the chance, is talk to the people who still consider themselves followers of Boysen. There is a group of Pastoral Counseling, Journal of Pastoral Care, which talk about Boysen. Unfortunately, I don't think the people that were Boysen's followers accepted the most essential part of what Boysen had to say. And it'll be interesting to start talking to them and let them know that somebody from outside the Christian tradition sees some stuff in Boysen. It'd be good preaching for us. What you'll be getting is an introduction to what Boysen's book is about. But the first thing I'd like you to read, if you could do it for tomorrow, just to let us know, I'd like you to look at again Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verses 30 and 31. Api chet sudaracharo, etc. Because in one sense you could say that this course is about what it means to be rightly situated in your determination. That's what this course is about. So look at those two verses over again. Rightly situated in one's determination. One is still to be considered saintly. Boysen says exactly the same thing, different words, as we'll see. Yeah.
And the purport.
Yeah, purport too, yeah. Verse and purport. I assume everybody's read it already. It's just to refresh your memory. And another set of verses and purports, chapter 12, 8 through, 10, but look at the beginning of 11 also. These verses, according to Prabhupada purports, shows different kinds of people that are part of the Hare Krishna movement. 11 shows the ones that aren't. Those who are completely surrendered to Krishna, those who are practicing the regular principles of Krishna consciousness, and those who are sympathetic helpers, just to give you an eye range of our group of people. So that's just a... Then the next thing to read, if you can also begin this, you'll find Boyden is a clear writer. He's really worked hard, so this guidance to the reader and the introduction. We can start on that tomorrow. I did a quick version of this course in Radhadesh, and this time you'll have more time to get involved in it. So I've decided to give you another chapter of this book called The Battleground of Character, which gives his more detailed explanation of this chart that's here. So we'll spend some time going over this chart so we can understand it. Yeah.
Well, I don't have pages 6 and 7. It's supposed to be there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you just got a defective copy. So, if you go to the people that have these copies, does everybody have 6 and 7? Or?
Yeah.
Not everyone has 6 and 7. Huh? Well, wait a minute. 6 and 7 are on the same page. So, if you've got one, you've got the other. 6 and 7 are together like this, you know. Do you have them, or is it missing in everyone's? You're missing? Everyone missing?
No.
Huh?
No, I have it.
Some have and some don't have it. So what shall we do?
Go to room 31.
Go to room 31 and get your missing pages. Then you're going to get a few other things. One is a couple of things I've written. Just to show you an idea of what goes on, I think things about that I've written about problems in ISKCON. One sometime around 1984 called Ending the Fratricidal War, which was a paper about what's wrong with ISKCON. It was commissioned by the North American Temple presidents who thought there was something wrong with gurus in ISKCON. I wrote this paper, and this is long before I run across Boysen, but yet some of the same things are there, because I think it is the laws of spiritual life. Another thing I wrote more recently, which needs work still, but anyway, it's there. It's called Cleaning House, Cleaning Hearts, Reform and Renewal in ISKCON. It was printed in ISKCON Communications. You may have read it, but you'll get a copy of that. And then another old BTG article I wrote called How I Was Saved from Being Saved, which I have second thoughts about, having read Boysen. if we have time, that's there. So I want to reflect a little bit about the fact is that, you know, Boysen is a Christian coming from a different religious community. He has something to say to us, and presumably we have something to say back. And I think we have learned something valuable from him. I want to just look at that process. Some people have advocated that it's very wrong for us to read any, you know, books outside of ISKCON. Or if we do be discreet about it, not let anybody know. I thought maybe we could, in the course of this thing, try to get some idea about how to go about that kind of a thing, because I'm giving you stuff that's outside ISKCON. And obviously, you have to have some good judgment about what's useful and what's not useful, and some discrimination. And so I hope in the course of this we'll get some guidance and direction to how to go about that kind of thing. right now we are more and more engaged in interreligious dialogue and things like that. We're not living in a vacuum. We're going to encounter all kinds of people. And so we need to get some ideas about how to go about that properly. So that's going to be the... Boy didn't really put me through a big change about my... I was raised a nominal Christian. And Boysen put me through a big change, actually. We have time to talk about that. We can look at that and see why that should happen to some of us. And I think part of our problem has been in ISKCON. Many people come to us with the problem is of having had bad authorities in the past, and sometimes in ISKCON. Authorities mean, what makes a person an authority? Ultimately, it has to be, if somebody is an authority, it's because he's been authorized by somebody. You know, a policeman is an authority because he's been authorized by the government. And there's some chain of authorities in the government, and ultimately, I guess you get up to say the president or the prime minister, whoever's the head of state. Who authorizes that person? Well, most people, they say, well, the people. Now we have modern liberal democracy. Who authorized the people? Well, nobody. Just, you know, what's your suggestion? It's just the best we can do. Well, why does the authority rest in people? Ultimately, you have to get, if you really want to have authority, you have to get to someone who would be the self-authorizing author of all others, authorizer of all others, which is God. So really, to be an authority, you have to represent God. Otherwise, you cut it out. The authority collapses somewhere. And anarchy comes from the idea that there is no ruler. So there are people, actually, who are natural representatives of God. They are father, mother, teachers, what Boysen calls collectively early guides. In a society which is not properly ordered, the early guides often turn out to be incompetent and have not represented whom they are supposed to have represented. Then we come into ISKCON and we are supposed to accept an authority, and we have all kinds of impediments for doing so. And I think some of the things we get from Boysen will help us look at that problem in a clear light. You see, modern people, in modern churches even, who don't accept authorities anymore, Boysen won't speak to them. But I think he has something to say to us that will help us understand some of the psychological dynamics that's involved and what it means to accept an authority. And what the different impediments are. What I want to do for the rest of the class period is find out about who's in this class. Get to know everybody. Maybe I'll know most of your names by the end of it. I don't know. I'll give it a try. Any questions on this so far? Yeah.
I'm sorry for... What brought you on to Boysen in the first place?
An accident, really. I was at the Detroit Temple, and there was an initiated disciple of Prabhupada. His name was, I think, Krishna Katha Ananda, left the strict practice of Krishna consciousness and got a medical degree and was a psychiatrist. And sometime when I went there in the 70, 87, 88, he was coming to the temple a little bit. And because he was a psychiatrist, I started telling some of the things that we are discovering about problems in ISKCON, how we're dealing with the fact that we discovered there was child molestation going on in our gurukuls and what a shock it was. And so he would come, he would come and visit. One Sunday feast, he brought a Methodist minister with him, and we were taking prasadam together. And they were discussing some project they were working on together, which was some kind of course for psychology for ministers, a course in pastoral counseling. And they happened to mention Boysen. I'd never heard of him. And something they said, I can't remember what it was, intrigued me. And so they explained that this was a man who was a minister who had had these schizophrenic episodes and understood that they were actually a period of what was actually going was a very violent sort of upheaval of spiritual growth. Now, before I become a devotee, I'd been interested in a Scottish psychologist named R.D. Lang, who was kind of big in the counterculture. Those of you who are old enough may remember. He wrote a book called Politics of Experience, in which he made the same, a similar claim, that people who were schizophrenics weren't crazy. They were just responding in the only way they could to a crazy situation. And they were trying, and what they were doing was undergoing a personality reintegration, disorientation and reintegration. And this appealed to the counterculture because ingesting LSD had some of the aspects of mimicking schizophrenia. Anyway, Lang was very interesting in this way. And so Boysen reminded me of Lang, but on a more pious level. And so that's how I found out about him, and I finally was able to track down his books. I first checked it out at the University of Pennsylvania Library, and I could only get so far. It was very intrigued, but at a certain point I couldn't. I ran into a block in reading Boysen. And that's just when he starts talking about ministering to a Christian congregation, and my own experiences of Christian congregations were so bad I couldn't bear with it. But it was really my fault. And finally, when I got through, I understood what Boysen was saying. And that's anyway how I got involved with Boysen. And I just lit up certain areas of my experience in Krishna consciousness, and certain things Prabhupada had said that hadn't been lit up quite that way. And things you always knew but didn't know you knew them. You were not quite as clear about it. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, why do we study Boysen? Why can't we just Vaishnavize what his teachings are and his ideas and give all those sacred Vaishnavas, Kshatriyas, and Acharyas?
Why not give him credit? But why not give him credit for what he's done? I think it's good for us to see that Vaishnava is not an upadhi. You know what upadhi means? Yeah. Vaishnava is the name of what a soul is. And let's see if Boysen's a Vaishnava or not. Ultimately, my own interest, I would like to be able to do theology beyond all these designations, Christian, Hindu, Muslim. I would like to get together with all the theists and do theology, and together let's take on the Mayavadis. That's what I'd like to do. And together take on the atheists, and together take on the nihilists. I think Boysen should be, I think one thing is, when you see Boysen, you should see certain things happening in people outside of the context of the Krishna consciousness movement that are actually Krishna conscious. And it's there, and Prabhupada always acknowledged that. It's also instructive to see the things that boys and can understand. That's also worth knowing from our point of view.
It's kind of like reading about St. John and St. Teresa of Avila.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They were very exalted states of consciousness.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's and Boysen has put things very, very well. I mean, he's really got a good vocabulary. And Prabhupada wanted us to be able to take all different disciplines and apply it in Krishna consciousness. So psychology is a discipline, especially social psychology. And this shows us a way to do that for those who are interested in doing that kind of thing. So we have to widen our horizons without compromising our philosophy. And I think Boysen is a good way to start to find out how to do those sorts of things. That's another reason why. And of course, for me, I think I can use Boysen to bring Krishna consciousness to the attention of some people who should be aware of it and aren't. I just before I came here, I was invited to speak on before a Loyola University has a graduate course, a graduate program in pastoral counseling. Actually, I mean, this pastoral counseling is something that people spend a lot of time dealing with, and we don't have any training in ISKCON. You know, preach to them, Abu, you have to get up. Prabhupada said. Anyway, we're not so expert all the time. We have to become expert. These people have already learned things. You know, they have experiences. And, you know, mutatis mutandis, certain changes being made, we can apply them to ISKCON. Why shouldn't we take advantage of an already existing body of knowledge? Just one has to be careful. And anyway, while I was, they asked me to speak. Apparently, people who are in pastor counseling end up counseling across denominational lines. And so they were at this thing. They wanted to talk to somebody from a Hindu tradition, have somebody from a Hindu tradition come and talk to them they ended up giving pastoral counseling to somebody from a Hindu tradition, what kind of things would they run across? Well, anyway, I mentioned Boysen to the professor, and you know what my particular interaction is with Boysen, and he was very, very interested. To see that somebody coming from a Hindu tradition would find somebody like Boysen speaking to our condition. But, I mean, Krishna consciousness is not so... one thing I do sometimes is take a sonnet of Shakespeare and show you, you know, what we learn from far-off exotic India in the West, brought in from imported from Prabhupada, was the common belief of Europe in the Middle Ages. You know, it's not so... is not so alien. So much of what's Krishna consciousness, the whole human race practically used to believe until about 500 years ago. Modern life is a brief aberration, a kind of Frankenstein experiment with human society that's about to crash. And it's good to know that. Let me just go through and call your name off and tell me who you are and sort of a little brief biodata.